place it comfortably. Before I, as a preliminary to going into this talk tonight, there'll be an announcement in Zen Chat just shortly, but we're starting up the study groups again this year, and they will start on Monday, the 1st of April, and they'll be led by Bronwyn, and by Deborah, and by Brett. And we're going to, last year they were all precepts groups, and what we're going to have this year is a precept group again for those who haven't done it already or who want to renew it again and go through it. And there'll be another one which Brett will be running on one of Joko's books, which we're not sure yet, to be announced. And the third one, which Deborah will be facilitating, is a book by John Wellwood. We have some of his readings in our sutra book, and it's a book called Towards the Psychology of Awakening, which I think is one of the best books on Buddhism and psychology, and it's very compatible with Joko's way of teaching. And I think it clarifies a lot of things. It's very conceptually clear. So they're the three ones we will be using. You're familiar with Joko's work already, and many of you are familiar with the precepts. Some of you may not be quite as familiar with John Wellwood's work, so I wanted to give you a flavour of some of his teaching tonight. And I've elaborated from my own experience as well, but it's a starting point. And so the title for the talk, to give it a title, is Grievance and Gratitude. Now, in the manuscript which I have written on the precepts, I came across a saying recently. I realised a lot of people have already heard of this saying, but I'd never heard it before. And I liked it so much because it summed up what I was trying to say in my manuscript on the precepts. And what it is hurt people hurt people. If you get what I mean. And apparently it was, there's some debate about where it came from, but it seems to have come from a Jewish rabbi who raised that issue. And the whole point of my manuscript and the precepts is to see that when we hurt people, it's because often we're being hurt ourselves, and then that's the karma of it. It goes round and round and round and round, with hurt people hurting people over and over again. And if we're really to cut through all of that, I believe we've got to address both sides of that. We've got to address how we've been hurt and how we process that, but we also have to address how we hurt others. And it's not until we address both sides of that that we really truly heal. But a lot of current thinking and things you see in the media, and which is played out in psychotherapy and counselling as well, is how people have been hurt by others. Not so much on how we hurt others, but how we've been hurt by others. And often that's just the starting point where we start counselling, or we even start Zen practice. But if it only stays there, it doesn't follow through to completion at all. And that's why we have the Purification Sutra, you know, in the beginning of our practice, to remind all of us that we're not just the victims of being hurt by others. We have, probably, but to remind us of that other side of how we may hurt other people as well. But what John Wellwood says about this is very interesting in not the book that we're going to study, but another book of his called Perfect Love, Imperfect Relationships. And John has a somewhat Tibetan Buddhist background as well as Zen, and some of the little aphorisms they have in Tibetan Buddhism can be very, very useful to bring into practice. And one of them is the medicine within the poison. finding the medicine within the poison. So with grievance, when we have the experience of grievance, we're often caught up in the story of it, you know, and the unfairness of it and the injustice of it and so on. And if we keep perpetuating that story over and over again, it never seems to resolve. Some people can hold grievances for the whole life, you know, which is really sad. And one of the things that he emphasises is, first of all, melting grievance into grief. When we've aggrieved about something, we've lost connection or with someone or something, and grievance is a kind of a resentment, a harsh feeling on the surface, which often just covers up the pain of hurt, you know, and sadness and grief underneath it. And if we don't drop into that, it doesn't resolve. But what he's also saying is that if the medicine within the poison, if we think of anger, resentment, grievance and so on being like a poison or something toxic in the body, is what he's suggesting to do, which is very compatible and similar to Joko's instructions about practice, is that you go into the body experience of anger, of resentment, even harder words like hate. Can we say we hate someone? Okay, go into actually, instead of batting it away, instead of trying to distract ourselves or rise above it or whatever, go right into the energy of what it is that the experience is to feel hate. What's it like? And if you stay with that experience as an energy there, and you don't go up into your head creating stories about it or trying to justify it and going round and round in your mind about it, people have the experience of it resolving. It's just kind of energy. So the way in which you approach it, you're approaching it non-judgmentally. You're making friends with the experience, right? And you're not perpetuating it through the mind, spinning and spinning all the time. When people do this, I know from my own experience, people know it through Zen practice or through therapeutic practice, where when you do this, something starts to resolve within it by facing into it. And the other point that he makes as well is that when we go back to that aphorism that hurt people, so much in everyday life, we personalise it straight away. If someone, say, on the road tailgates us and then abuses us, they're going past, whatever it might be. And we immediately personalise it as being a victim, you know, and we react to it. But another way of practising with it is seeing that it's not personal. Someone else, for whatever reason, because they've had a bad day or they had a bad childhood or whatever, or they've just broken up from their marriage or they lost their job, is having a bad day and you happen to be the one in front of them in the car. So it's not about you, in a sense. It's just you happen to be there at the wrong time and it's unpleasant. But in a sense, there's this cutting through this need to personalise everything that happens to us. Because in the centre of that is a me. And it goes back to what I mentioned in a talk a few weeks ago, the title of a book by Laura Huxley, You're Not the Target. Mm-hmm. Same point. You're not the target. Just happened to be the person in that place at that time when a hurt person was hurting someone else. And when you get that perspective on it, it starts to shift. So there's two sides to this. The title of the talk is Grievance and Gratitude. So that's the grievance side of it. But when we're caught up in a self-centred way of looking at the world, that's the kind of mind frame that will look for grievance and be sensitive to grievance and pick it up, find it wherever it can, you know, to sort of solidify itself. But the antidote to it is, in practice, is also the practice of gratitude. And you can see that particularly in the way in our Western culture, in the way that we see our parents or relate to our parents. And there's so much complaint in our culture about our parents, you know. And yes, I'm sure, like my parents, they weren't perfect, but they're probably doing the best they could based on the love they received or didn't receive and the experiences they had, you know, and the harm that was caused to them. But it seems to be such a strongly held attitude in our culture these days. If my life is not working out the way I thought it would, and my image of me is not fitting the picture that I thought it should be, then my parents must be to blame for it somehow. And because they probably made a lot of mistakes, you can pick them up and you can exemplify it or exaggerate it. But the other side of this, which is practice, and it's known as, it's been part of particularly Japanese Buddhist practice for centuries, and it's called Nikan, which is the practice of gratitude. And it's now become a Nikan therapy, particularly in the United States. And that is about, instead of looking for grievance all the time and filling ourselves up with instances to justify being aggrieved, it's about actually reflecting and contemplating what's been given to us, you know, and what we could be grateful for, like from our parents. I'm sure all of our parents did some wonderful things for us. They brought us into the world and fed us and wiped our bum and all those things. So there's a lot to be grateful for as well. But if we don't address that side of it, we get a very distorted, lopsided view of the world. And they know from a lot of research now that the practice of gratitude, you know, cultivating the attitude of gratitude is so essential to mental health, you know, spiritual well-being. And in Nikan therapy, they ask these three questions to contemplate in a meditative way. What have I received? What have I given? And what troubles and difficulties have I created? Turns the whole thing around, doesn't it? Instead of what are all the troubles and difficulties that have been sent my way, right? What do I actually do? Once you can do that, the trick here in practice, the real trick to it is to do it non-judgmentally. You'd say with kindness towards yourself, non-judgmentally. Once you get the non-judgmental perspective on practice, it all changes. Because if you're judgmental towards others and you're judgmental towards yourself, you'll stay stuck there forever. And that practice of just coming back to the breath, just coming back to the moment as it is, letting it speak to you as it is, rather than in the framework of right and wrong and good and bad, etc. As soon as we break through all of that conceptualizing in the mind, that in many ways is the key. That's the opening of the door into practice. And things start to blossom from there, as Joko stated in that reading tonight. We find a freedom within it.